In the name of God, Creator, Redeemer, and Sanctifier. Amen. Well, good morning to you, and thank you for this wonderful opportunity and the kind welcome that I've received this morning to be with you. I'm very grateful to Father Peter for his generous invitation and to Elizabeth and the team for your wonderful hospitality and welcome to me today. And alongside all of you gathered here and those who are at 8 o'clock. I bring you greetings from the Brotherhood of St. Lawrence, where I am the head of chaplaincy, from our Executive Director, Connie Lenneberg, and it's my great privilege to thank you for your kind support of the Brotherhood, especially the $2,000 that came last year for the breakfast program, which is absolutely wonderful and supports the work of the Atherton Gardens Children, which is a Ministry of Housing estate, and to which many children come in the morning. I've seen the towel outside in the vestry, one of which many of you think own, I think, a few of you might, and they're absolutely fabulous. And also the wonderful aprons that with my other hat, I'm a member of the board of ABM, the Anglican Board of Mission. So you're doing great guns in supporting fundraising through buying of aprons, and they're very swish, aren't they? So well done and congratulations, and thank you for your response to the call of the gospel to support those who are in need greater than our own. So my role is to lead the chaplaincy team, and we're a very little team, but we work first and foremost with all of the staff, about 1300 of them, and all of the volunteers, also about 1300 of them. So we're a little team that has a lot to do with a whole lot of people. I'm very glad we don't have to see all those people in one day. It might be a little exhausting. But we care for many people who are just caring for others and in need of support, someone to talk to, someone to share the load. We also care for those clients who come to us to be part of our aged care programs, whether that's through day programs, whether that's through our early onset and late onset dementia programs, whether it's through the nursing homes or aged care facilities that we operate at the Brotherhood, or through our respite care program, as well as care in the home. So there are a number of avenues where chaplaincy steps in and is part of the work of the Brotherhood. As an Anglican agency, we have a heritage that is nearly 90 years old. Next year we'll celebrate our 90th birthday. Many of you may be aware that the Brotherhood was started in 1930 in Newcastle in New South Wales by Father Gerard Tucker, who was born into a Christian socialist clergy family in the vicarage at Christchurch, South Yarra. And he was born there in 1885. Tucker loved and admired and styled his own ministry on the work of his father, Horace Tucker, who not only cared for his parishioners, but the many people around him who looked to the church for help at that time. He was often known to open the buildings of Christchurch for those who were homeless and found themselves in the park next door in Faulkner Park, or those who found themselves post the gold rush time in need of support. One of his most outstanding achievements was the building of Christchurch Grammar School, to be a school for children of the servants and the poorer folk in the area, so that everyone had the right to an education. And it was from those humble beginnings that Christchurch Grammar takes its name today. When Gerard Tucker began the work of the Brotherhood in 1930, he did so not only in the footsteps of his father's great kindness for all those in need, but because he had a conviction that there could be a difference. The group that came together, the very small group of men that came to form the Brotherhood, an Anglican religious community, came because they believed with him in the importance of caring for others. For Gerard, it was in his mind an opportunity to revitalise the church, a way to say, don't forget what Christ calls us to be. And so the priests and brothers who joined the community very much shared that philosophy. He came with a background as an army chaplain in the First World War, and he buried nearly 1,000 men in the Somme. He knew what it was to suffer in those conditions, And he knew that God called him to do something more than just allow poverty and meanness of spirit to prevail. When he came to Melbourne, he came at the invitation of Canon Maynard to be part of those who operated out of St. Peter's. And in particular, he was responsible for the missional church of St. Mary's Fitzroy, a daughter church of St. Peter's Eastern Hill. But after 12 months or so, he and his fellow brothers who had joined him could not turn an eye in 1933-34 depression of Melbourne. They could not turn away from what was going on in the slums of Fitzroy and Collingwood, and so the work of the Brotherhood began in earnest. And much of that work you may well know today without actually having known existed. Many of you will remember, I'm sure, having little bottles of milk at school. Those bottles of milk were started by Gerard Tucker in Fitzroy in the 1930s as a response to children who did not receive enough nutrition during their day, and became both a national and international program through to the early 1990s. Many of you will have supported Oxfam Australia, begun as community aid abroad, a response by Gerard Tucker to the poverty caused by flooding in India. Many connections that lead the Brotherhood back into our lives, even when we don't know it. In the early 40s, he was the first to employ not only a social worker, but also researchers to look at what the causes of poverty were about and how we could make the difference. So the inspiration that came from him and was shared by many was brought simply by that conviction that God loved him and Jesus taught him to care for others. Well, in the Gospel reading today, Luke gives us the account of the fig tree that has failed to fruit. The farmer, or the owner, of course, wants to chop it down and move on. No place for this tree, other things could be growing there. The gardener of the farm requests a bit more time, a second go, another opportunity, if you like, to seek to get this tree to fruit, to flourish. It's very easy to assign roles in this story. Who is the fruitless tree? Who is the owner? Who is the gardener? But to do so is to miss the true meaning of the story and its supporting stories that we read today in Genesis and Philippians. As a Lenten reading, we are called to look, to see, to hear, and to try and understand God's call to each of us to repentance and to forgiveness, major themes of our Lenten journey together. The tree of no fruit and its protagonist in this story could be anyone, and any one of us in relationship with God. But the bigger picture is to see the world and the way of doing things in a new light, a light that allows each of us to flourish as God calls us. Jesus gives us words of judgment and repentance, and they are very full on. Here is a sinister story at the beginning and a major story at the end. But what we choose to do as God's people, as Jesus calls us to forgive others and to repent ourselves, is even more so. Let me say at this point that I wrote most of this before the events of Friday, before a senseless killing in a neighbouring and friendly land. My assistant comes from New Zealand. When I spoke to her yesterday, she said, "This does not happen in my country. I don't understand it." When we think about the fragility of life, when we look towards something to support and explain it to us, forgiveness and repentance may be furthest from our mind, and God may seem completely silent on any of the matters connected. Here, is fruit and trees that have not been allowed to flourish, that have been cut down in the midst of life. For some, a life that has only just begun. And each of us reel away from it in horror and sadness in our own way. Whether this type of senseless killing and others that we have experienced in our world, or whether natural disaster that takes life, or some other sinister occurrence, each of us may wonder not only why, but if God is here. Where is God in this? And why did God allow it to happen? In calling us to repent and to forgive, God calls us not to wrap ourselves in piety and to point a finger, but to wrap ourselves in grace. Neither Jesus nor God seeks to explain why humans are cruel to each other or the causes of violence inflicted on the unsuspecting. Neither does Jesus blame victims or seek to find excuses. Instead, he asks us to forgive and to seek forgiveness ourselves, to allow others to flourish around us, to ask of ourselves and each other, what about you? How will you live the life that you get to live? Each and every day at the Brotherhood, we meet people who come to us with lives that are often broken, lonely, and in need of gracious care. As you pray for us, as you support us financially, as you offer something of yourself, as you volunteer if you do, as you take interest in us or in kind, your gracious care is a part of ours. And that's something that we do in ministering together. We know that poverty comes in many forms today. It's not just a financial state. For many, the sense of loneliness that surrounds them brings on a poverty of person. For those who have lost their job, it's not just the financial lack. It's what happens to us inside, for the ways in which we struggle to be part of the world going around us. For those who suffer mental health, the issues that come for them are too a form of poverty. I am privileged each day to witness our teams caring and seeking to make a difference in the lives of many. And so I want to tell you a story that I hope that you and other Anglican parishes might consider being part of in your generous and thoughtful way of travelling the journey with the Brotherhood. Our work covers all of the life stages, from birth and early childhood to aged care services, palliative and end-of-life care. And in between are young children supported by the Breakfast Club, such as the project you supported last year, and other projects for young people, supporting education and work and training. For older people, supporting them as they look for work or experience or to move on, or housing, or whatever it may be. For those who experience dementia, including early onset, and those who care for them. For children and adults seeking the support of the NDIS in disability services. And as well, we support the community through financial and social inclusion programs, budget and financial management, nursing care, home care for those still able to be in their home, and refugees and asylum seekers who look for support and work opportunities. Well, last month I was contacted by the project team for Settlement Youth and Families, which is part of our multicultural team and is based at Epping. Karen, who leads that team, asked me whether it was possible that there might be some funds from chaplaincy who could help them care for a family who had suddenly lost their rights to income and work, visas and Medicare. This is an immigration issue and many families are seeking and experiencing the same. When they received a letter on the Tuesday, their rights were terminated immediately. And the family, who had been expecting a payment the next working day, suddenly found themselves with nothing. The family consists of a mother and a father and four children, aged 2, 3, 12, and 16. The mother continues to experience post-birth health issues, and two of the children have debilitating and complex health issues. But because of the termination of their rights, the family are not able to attend their local GP as they're not entitled to Medicare. Therefore, the family have to attend a refugee health service. The one that's best placed to manage their complex life is located in Footscray, and they're living out near Epping. Fortunately, this service can provide day-to-day health care for all the family, and our team negotiated with the Children's Hospital to continue the specialist care of the two children. The Salvation Army helped provide material aid and food relief, and the Resource Centre in Footscray has also been working on their visas and whatever the issue may be that surrounds them. But the everyday part of life still exists for them. To get to Footscray, they needed the son of the family and the Children's Hospital to have Mikey cards. There was no money to pay for them. They had paid for all of their bills, but they were waiting on some utility bills to arrive. They paid their rent in advance, that was great. But their car registration was about to be paid quarterly, and that payment was cancelled. So when Karen came to me, the situation was that they needed to pay for the quarterly car registration, $210, put some petrol in the car, $40, provide some Mikey cards and resources to get them around, and $50, and some other few things. And as you'll see, at that point, there wasn't food or anything else. She requested whether it was possible that chaplaincy might be holding $300 somewhere. Well, chaplaincy wasn't holding $300 somewhere, and so I was scratching my head trying to think out how to do it. We'd agreed we could advance the money and we could make everything happen. I just had to get it back. The very next day, a parish sent in a check for $600. And I said, I know exactly where that's going. I know what we can do with that. And we were able to help that family and continue to do so while they sort out what seems to be some confusion about their visa and why and how it was taken away from them. It's one of the tiny little stories that the Brotherhood deals with each day. And this is a project that receives no funding from anywhere else except the goodness of people. Under a program called the Family Service Brokerage Program, they're looking to be able to raise funds to support this kind of work. Sometimes it's about violence in the home. Sometimes it's about helping people to be able to get their driver's license so they can get to work. Sometimes it's about helping someone do English courses. Sometimes it's about finding medical health services for children and families that require some money to support them. And these families come with great dignity and great humility. No one comes wanting to ask, but they are usually at the point where they have to. So it seems to me that this is something that we can do together. They estimate that if they had something like $3,000 to $5,000 available to them over the next couple of years, there are many families that they could help. And if we can work together, then I think we can work toward making that happen. And it will make such a difference. The casework level is around about 75 or more families a year, but it's growing all the time. Most recently, those who have been brought to Australia and have been accepted as asylum seekers have had their first 6 months of funding taken away from them. So how are you supposed to get to a place to find work or look after your family without some kind of support? Working together graciously for change and difference. The theologian and priest Max Skinner says this: God transforms us through grace, the grace that calls us to be generous towards those still trapped under the weight of poverty, want, and devastation of all kinds. We are called to give the tree another go, and we are called to allow it to fruit and to flourish. And that's something we most certainly can do together. The Lord be with you.